Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore let my soul speak them. The entrance of thy word giveth life, it giveth understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and thank thee, for I long for thy commandments. Bestow upon me and be merciful unto me. I cried with my whole heart, give me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, and I shall keep thy testimony. Lord, I shall keep thy testimony. I've been blessed with the dawning of the morning and bright. When I speak and tonight, what is that I might meditate in thy word? Great peace have they which love the Lord, nothing shall offend them,
nothing shall offend them.
I look home for thy salvation, and done all thy commandments,
done all thy commandments.
Lord, I kept thy testimony, and I love and esteem thee. I have kept thy precepts for all my ways to be for thee.
My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness.
Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so. I go to prepare a place for you, if I go and prepare a place for you. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. If I go to prepare a place to you, if I go to prepare a place to you, I will come again.
If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for being with us last night again as well, when we gathered in praise and study, prayer. We thank you, Father, for blessing everyone that's on the prayer list, especially those that are in need of salvation and those that are in need of healing, whether it's spiritual or physical. Thank you for letting them have their miracle, for letting the signs follow your people. Thank you for giving us a faith that will see those signs, helping us in our unbelief so that we can go forth and glorify you as the word said we will do. Thank you for keeping us safe as we do it. Thank you again for the hedge of angels that you have about us, especially recently with that typhoon that hit the Philippines, where we have so many workers in and at the school. We thank you for keeping them all safe. And more baptisms this week in the midst of all of it. We thank you for blessing them. Thank you for giving us this work to do and giving us a desire deep in our hearts to actually do it. And we pray for all those that have come against us. We pray that you keep a hedge of angels around them as well, so that they come to the truth, but at the same time, they don't further harm your people. And we thank you, Father, for all these things, and to the best of our ability, we pray. In the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And thank all of you that are joining us on the radio. It seems I had to lower the bandwidth. Am I sounding okay on the audio chat? I mean, because when you lower the bandwidth, sometimes it sounds like I'm lisping. Does it sound okay? Because I didn't lower it that much, but I had to lower it because the radio is getting hit pretty heavy. So I praise the Lord for that. Okay. Let's see. The last time I was able to preach, and praise the Lord, is because we've got so many preachers now. And we've got three more that are in the ranks. By the way, we found out last night we have three more men of God that are going to be stepping up to the pulpit soon. So, amen. The Lord is definitely answering our prayers there. And because of this, I don't get an opportunity that often to get to the pulpit because I love sharing the pulpit. I like doing the Friday nights and, of course, the Sabbath day study, but, you know, when men of God are moved by the Spirit to share, I think it's wise to let them. And so last time I was up, it was November 3rd, about a month ago, and I shared very near the end, part one. Well, this is part two. And so we left off at prophecy number 3, and so this, of course, would be prophecy number 4. And in other words, these are the prophecies that are written in the scriptures as to happen right before Jesus gets here. I know I wrote a book called People Get Ready. It's already on the site. I think I got 16 or 19 prophecies in there or something like that. But this is embellishing that to some extent. I may even share some of those prophecies from the book, because I want to make this into a new book. I don't want to update People Get Ready. I want to make it, I'm just going to write a whole new one. Because things have changed, you know. And so I'll just make it, People Get Ready will still be on the site, of course. But anyway, number 4, this prophecy speaks of the people that claim to be Christians will forsake God's law. And in Matthew 24, verse 12, our Lord, our Savior, our King states, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And we'll get into that later, too. And then Psalm 119, verse 53 says, Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. And then Proverbs 28, 4 says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Amazing. You know, James chapter 2, verse 10 also says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Yet every one of the Ten Commandments are broken by most Christians today almost daily. As prophecy predicted long ago, most Christians today follow after the beast in a multitude of ways. I mean, I don't want to get into all of them, but if you were to go commandment by commandment, you will find that, yes, every one of the Ten Commandments have been broken by most people today. And, of course, I go into a much more detail on this prophetic fact on my Break One, Break All page on the website, which is all, it's also a video now. But to summarize it, when we peer into God's law, we see something amazing in regards to the state of mankind today. I mean, take commandment number 1, for example, that says in Exodus 20, verses 2 to 3, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I mean, look around. And you will see that many have other gods before them, and it's not just Muslims and Hindus either. I mean, Christians place all sorts of false gods before the God of heaven every chance they get. If they could, for example, it could be fashion. You know, cigarettes. I mean, it could be alcohol, porn. I mean, you name it. Some even have gods that have a religious tone to them. I mean, take the Catholics, for example. They worship Mary and a host of all these other saints as well. Well, they call them saints, but that's just, Catholic prelates. And or look at the Pentecostals, who have the God of tongues directing their every doctrine. Mormons worship their false prophet, as do Jehovah's Witnesses. And we mustn't forget all the others that worship Spurgeon or Easton or Schofield and all the other Bible commentators that preach erroneous doctrines, which most Christians today believe as the gospel, even though you can't find a single verse in the Bible that says, that you know, speaks like of things like a seven-year trib or eternal life in hellfire or a secret rapture, just to name a few. Yeah, and thank you, Marty. Money, too. I mean, that's the big one. And most people, they worship money like it's literally God on earth. So anyway, as for commandment number 2, most alive today bow to these idols in abject worship. And it's not just Catholics that do this either. I mean, there are all sorts of ways to bow to graven images nowadays. I mean, everything from video games to a shiny new car in the driveway. And when it comes to taking the Lord's name in vain, as is outlined in commandment number 3, in almost every single solitary movie, and praise God that most of us here, including myself, have given up movies for years now and TV and all that garbage. But in almost every movie and sitcom produced today, we see at least a half a dozen times wherein the Lord's name is used as a swear word. This is, of course, what cultivates billions to do the same in their homes, their schools, and their workplace or at play. And yes, you can even take his name in vain without even using it as they do. Many Christians take his name in vain by claiming him Lord while openly walking in sin. So they're taking him in his name in vain. I mean, how dare they end their prayers within Jesus' name? How can they do that? As for commandment number 4, the most glaring example being that of the pagan worship day of Sunday that most believe is God's Sabbath for some strange reason. I mean, this is besides the fact that commandment number 4 is crystal clear in that it says in Exodus 20, verse 10, that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Yet all the churches keep Sunday holy. It even says in Exodus 20, verse 8, that we must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, which proves we will be taught to forget it. That one word, remember, is actually a prophetic statement. Daniel 7:25 predicted long ago that all of mankind will follow after the beast who boldly thinks to change times and laws, right? And as we know, the Vatican has admitted many times in writing that they are the ones that changed the Sabbath to Sunday. They even admit they did so without so much as a Bible verse to back it up in published writings that they put out there. One of them was called Rome's Challenge to Protestants. I got it listed on the website, the whole book, a little tiny, you know, skinny little book. And now commandment number 5, wherein it says children should honor their father and their mother in Exodus 20, verse 12. And we see kids not only being disobedient and literally insulting and sharing all sorts of hatred to their parents, which is, of course, another prophecy we're going to get into later. They dishonor and actually mock their parents before all their friends nowadays. Some of these kids do this before millions now by ridiculing their parents on Facebook. And sadly, some of these children actually kill their own parents for some of the most insane reasons. I mean, everything from being grounded from watching their favorite TV programs to having to stop hanging out with the wrong crowd. We've read all the crazy stories over the years. None of us are immune to this. It's a sad thing. It's like Lot walking around in Sodom and Gomorrah. You're just vexed living here, anywhere on the planet now. And then next we see in Exodus 20, verse 13, which says, thou shalt not kill, which is, of course, commandment number 6. This has been broken so often today that we now have statistics to show how many murders are committed per hour per city. As for the wars our political leaders cause, this too is murder in that our young people that fight for them are not fighting for the same reasons we see David and his men fighting for in the Old Testament. Today, we have wars for corporate reasons, wherein the profit margin is what generates the offense. I mean, moving right along, I mean, how about, or look at Hollywood, for example. I should have shared the statistic. I didn't look it up, but I remember reading years ago, like by the time a child reaches the age of 12, and they said this in the 80s. It's a lot worse now, a lot worse. But it was something to the effect that a child sees 30,000 murders by the time they reach the age of 13 on TV. Talk about glorifying murder. So, okay, now commandment number 7, which says in Exodus 20, verse 14, that thou shalt not commit adultery. Yet today we actually have websites and businesses that are considered reputable that literally advertise how to best cheat on your spouse without getting caught. And they have these clubs and stuff. This, of course, coincides with Hollywood sitcoms and movies wherein they glorify adultery in every production. The music industry also pushed adultery forward as an acceptable pastime wherein they have artists singing songs where adultery is the main topic at hand. Then we have the fashion industry that creates clothing that is so revealing, everyone is tempted to lust after each other at work or at play or at the market or just walking down the street now. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28 that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. This is why true Christians today, and especially women, are very conscious as to what they wear. Lusting after someone is bad enough, but to cause someone to lust after you is even worse, in that many souls are being tempted by simply walking past them. As for stealing, you know, commandment number 8, the prisons are literally packed to the gills of all sorts of prophetic fulfillments there. In fact, most of us alive have not only stolen things in our past, we have been robbed as well. So I don't think I need to touch on this one much. I mean, it has been broken more than most would think. Next is, of course, commandment number 9. That says in Exodus 20, verse 16, that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. How many of us have been ridiculed and lied about because of our faith? In fact, some of us in this very church have been boldly lied about by some that have left our number recently. I've seen this happen to me quite often since becoming a Christian many years ago. And this isn't the first time some of us have been lied about in this church either. This is the enemy's method. You know, we all know what Sanballat tried to do in Nehemiah's day. Nehemiah was busy doing the work of God, so the devil sent Sanballat. And I don't, you know, continue to try to slow him down or even stop the work. You know, I know prophecy does declare this is to be our lot while visiting this planet, so I'm used to it. For those of you that have been attacked in this manner recently for the very first time, don't let it get to you. It's all part of being an obedient Christian. You know, I'll get into this later, of course, but just so you know, this is very common today, especially in politics. Every politician lies about his opponent so as to keep his job or steal the job away from his opponent. It has literally become completely normal now for politicians to lie. It's gotten that bad now that when you mention this, it no longer raises concern. It's just how these things are done now. Plus, we all know about the deadly tongue of Satan that fuels the gossiping hearts, do we not? In some circles, gossip is a favored pastime today. Especially out in these little small towns where there ain't much to do. The Bible calls that busybodies, you know. Most of us have been the victim of this in our schools, our workplace, our neighborhood, or even at home. I remember when we first moved into this small town that was near here, well, actually it was in Illinois. When we moved in, I, even though I was a preacher, my kids were, the gossip all about us was insane. Some of the things that the people were, there's something going around out and out right now in our neighborhood now that they're saying things about us that I don't know what they're saying. I just know we're, something's going on. It's something bad. Like when we first moved into this one town in Illinois, everybody thought that I was a Satanist or something. I can't remember what it was. It was something really, you know, but that particular town happens to be the hub of gossip in Illinois. I found out later, but still, they're all doing this now. And now with Facebook being invented, gossip can now go global to destroy the lives of many. And finally, we come to commandment number 10 that says in Exodus 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet. This commandment has been broken so often as well now that it becomes a favorite advertising technique of most large corporations. I mean, how often have we heard the term keeping up with the Joneses as a way to get you to buy a new car or the latest iPad upgrade or even a new house so as to make your neighbor envy and then covet after your goods? It's a blessing in my heart when I think that, when God's people, when we look for like an upgrade to a computer or something like that, it's so that we can do the work better. We wouldn't even care if anybody looks and sees what we have. It's like, who cares? Billions are literally spent each year in America in advertising that tempts people to covet their neighbor's house, his spouse, and anything else he has under his roof, or in the garage for that matter. So in short, the prophecy regarding forsaking God's law has most assuredly been fulfilled right before the eyes of all of mankind today. So commandment number, next prophecy, number 5, the love of many shall wax cold. And again, Matthew 24:12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, this is yet another prophetic event that many don't need any convincing of to see that it has come to fruition. I mean, the abortion industry itself is proof this prophecy has been fulfilled and that mothers kill their own babies daily in this world. Daily. At present, and I just got this the other day and I couldn't believe it, but this is this is just the USA, by the way. Just the United States of America. 3,700 babies are viciously tortured and slaughtered by doctors each and every day now. And yes, if you've ever seen the procedure of how they killed it, you know, how they do an abortion with the little vacuums, it's unbelievable. And they kill these precious little babies at the request of their own mothers. This means in the USA alone, we see 1,350,500 babies ripped to shreds alive by a vacuum tube each year in this nation. It's bad enough they kill these precious little children, but they do so in a way that is very painful. Now, just because the brain cannot store memories up until the age of 3 to 5 years, most think that these children don't feel the pain because they themselves don't recall being in the womb, or they don't recall the pain of being born, or even when the doctor spanked them. So, but if you ever saw the movie titled The Silent Scream, it's their actual title. I don't know if they got it on YouTube. Never looked. I saw it years ago. But The Silent Scream, you would know for a fact these precious little babies do in fact feel pain and even try to escape it. In that movie, they show an ultrasound of a child being aborted. Not only is a little child trying to push the doctor's vacuum tube away from him to protect himself, when the doctor successfully removes a limb, the child clearly shows a sign of pain upon his face, and his mouth opens wide as if he's screaming out loud, but it's silent. Because the kid can't say anything, it's legal. Now keep in mind, the doctors know all about this movie. And because their love for their fellow man has become so viciously cold, as the prophecy said it would, they have no remorse whatsoever when doing this horrendous act that they now have scientific evidence causes the baby's pain when they kill it. They don't care. This reminds me of Moloch, the fires of Moloch. The devil, all throughout generations of mankind, has always tried to figure out some way, somehow, to get the people to kill their own children. And having the children jump through the fires of Moloch back in the day, thousands of years ago, is just, I would think, one of the first ones. You know, they would have a pit. You had to climb like a pyramid-looking thing, but it was flat on top, and then there was a hole that went out to the base of the pyramid. It was filled with wood and was lit on fire. And then it was a show of manhood to have the child, the little boy, jump from one side of the pit to the other through the fire, because when you go through the fire, it doesn't really hurt. You might singe a couple of hairs. Whoopee-doo, it doesn't really hurt, right? But what if the kid missteps, or he's an invalid? He can't make it across. They fall in the hole. They fall in the pit. And that's where they die. And the parents do it. And people think that's crazy. Just like with, I would think 40 years ago, or let's just say even 20 years ago, because I don't remember, what was it, in the 70s? So I think, okay, 30 or 40 years ago. If someone came up to you and told you that girls would kill their babies to keep themselves, you know, to prevent from getting stretch marks or losing their boyfriends, you think that's insane. No mother's going to kill her own child for that. Come on. Now it's just normal. It's just considered completely normal. To the point now, doctor-assisted suicide's now normal. And they wonder why the murder rate's gone up. Also keep in mind, this is just one act of love waxing cold, wherein over 1.3 million die each year in America. What about the following evidence that causes grief or even loss of life that shows love is waxed cold all around the world? You got war? Right? You got divorce? Sporting event riots? Or just the sporting event itself? I mean, it's like football, for example. Do those guys like each other? It don't appear so. or just riots in general. How about bullies in the schoolyard? Parents beating and killing children, or children beating and killing parents. Muslims killing Christians. Muslims or Chinese killing Christians, and Hindus killing Christians. And all three of these are also torturing Christians to around the tune of 200,000 a year. You also have suicide. Cannibals now. Literally, you have cannibals out there now in modern society. And, of course, animal cruelty, some of the things like with the skinning puppies and stuff and lighting cat tails on fire and stuff. And I mean, that was going on in the 70s. I remember, or actually in the 60s, my first cat, his name was Tom. And he was a tomcat, so I just named him Tom. He was orange, and he used to come around. I would go out in the back because I'd learned how to whistle really loud. And I would whistle one time. Within 5-10 minutes, he'd be walking up the driveway. He was one of the cats that... From what I understand, that there was a lot of cats in the neighborhood, kids that would do this. They would dip the cat's tail in gasoline at night, then light it and watch the cat run around the neighborhood. Then, of course, you have murder. And it's not just kids killing parents and parents killing kids. It's everybody killing everybody. Now, because of iniquity abounding, the people that are in sin have no choice but to display the fruit of Satan in their hearts. If you walk with Christ, you're going to love your fellow man. But if you walk with Satan, you're going to hate your fellow man. See how most people today embrace sin just as they did in Noah's day, which is another prophecy. The love of many has already become very cold indeed. Now, what about number 6, Christian persecution on the rise? Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, "And at that time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even at the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that hath been, that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." No. This is not speaking of the great tribulation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, verse 21. The Jesuits of Rome, with the help of Schofield, of course, fabricated a series of twisted prophecies to make it appear as if the great tribulation happens at the end of the world. Biblical and historic fact is that great tribulation has come and gone. I go into much more detail in my book, People Get Ready, on this. And then just check out prophecy number 2 in that book. And believe it or not, I go into even more detail on this on my page, 7-Year Trib, Fact or Fiction, because I use historic evidence to show Jesus stated certain prophetic events must happen after the Great Tribulation is over. They have happened. And they have been well documented as being happened. Everything from the blood red moon to the sun not shining, the stars falling from heaven to the global earthquake. It's all there. And all the historic events is, are on my... either in the book, People Get Ready, or the 7-Year Trib Fact or Fiction gets right to it. So, anyway, this persecution of God's people right near the end is another one of those prophecies wherein even the scoffer, and especially the Muslim, does not have to be overly convinced has been fulfilled in just the last few decades alone. I mean, look at the Muslims. We see that 200,000 Christians are killed every year, and 175,000 more are tortured by them every year that actually survive. Now, many believe that it's the Muslims alone doing this, but they fail to realize is Rome is behind this and have actually been exposed as the father of Islam. I have documentation on my site confirming this as well. The ex-Jesuit priest that published this information was killed for his testimony against the Vatican. Some of you know of him. His name is Alberto Rivero. Still, if you look in the book, The Two Babylons, you'll find the following on page 213 in chapter 6. Religious Orders, Section L. It says, in regards to the chair of Peter, or the throne the Pope sits on, that when the French soldiers under General Napoleon Bonaparte took possession of Rome, they found on the back of it, in Arabic, this well-known sentence from the Quran: "There is no God but God." No, wait, "There is no God but Allah." I'm sorry, there was a typo here. "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." That's on the Pope's throne, and it's been on there for hundreds of years. Now, notice this. In order for Rome to be able to once again, you know, run rampant across the land, killing Christians as they did during the Inquisition, they need to make the Islamic State a viable force in politics. And the best way to do that is by force. Notice, if you will, the pattern that emerged after just a few decades of the Pope moving ahead on this satanic agenda. In 1968, a Muslim killed Bobby Kennedy. In 1972, a Muslim killed and kidnapped and killed the Munich Olympians. In 1979, the U.S. Embassy was taken over by Muslims. In the 1980s, many Americans were kidnapped by Muslims. In 1983, this is not counting the airplanes and all the hijacks either. I don't go into that. But in 1983, the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut were blown up by Muslims. In 1985, the cruise ship Aquila Lauro was hijacked, and a 70-year-old passenger was thrown overboard in his wheelchair by Muslims. And by the way, this is exactly how Roman Catholic Nazis treated their victims. If they raided a home that was an apartment-type structure a few stories high, they would take the weak and the elderly in that home and toss them from the balcony in front of their loved ones. Well, I guess I do go into some hijacks here. The one in 1985, the TWA Flight 847 that was hijacked in Athens, and a U.S. Navy diver trying to rescue the passengers was murdered by Muslims. In 1988, Pan Am Flight 103 was bombed by Muslims. In 1993, the World Trade Center was bombed by Muslims. Remember that, when it didn't fall. And in 1998, the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, were bombed by Muslims. And most recently, we see the Muslims were politically connected to the United States government in 2001 to bring down the Twin Towers. And after that, we saw America finally bow officially behind closed doors to Islam and defeat. And a Muslim became president. As history has proven, I outline this in, you know, pictorial detail on the site. Wait, hold on. Hitler was used, there's a lot of pictures to back this up. I mean, Hitler was used by the Vatican to do similar acts so as to allow the Vatican to assure certain global laws were enacted that would benefit them and them alone. And as we look at Islam and what they have done and what Rome has done in the past and how Rome has been making friends with Muslim nations the world over, especially wherein the Vatican, under the present Pope, demanded all Catholic schools teach Islam to their students in October of 2009, do we see a pattern emerging? And as we look at the many laws that have been passed around the world that help the Vatican gain power, while at the same time guarantee Muslim powerful benefits, is there any wonder why, the man Rome would choose to lead the USA as president would be a Muslim? They did this very same thing with Hitler, did they not? Still, since the Vatican invented the religion of Islam, it stands to reason they also invented the Quran. That way they can influence future events as well as cause certain events that they have planned appear as if they're prophetic fulfillments for some reason. I mean, within the Quran pages are so many so-called prophecies that they can now easily be understood to actually be published agendas rather than prophecies that were literally penned by Vatican prelates. For example, in a commentary on the Quran, we see the following so-called prophecy. Right? It says, the hour will, and this is, I think I got this in the room here in box number 8. It says, this is from the Bukhari volume 6, book 60, number 159. And it says, the hour will not be established until the sun rises from the west. And when the people see it, then whoever will be living on this surface of the earth will have faith. Now on my site, I have a gallery image, like a gallery, a pictorial gallery of just images of Obama. In this gallery, you find the infamous logo for the Obama campaign. As you see here in box number 8, it depicts the sun rising over the ultimate symbol of the West, the flag, the United States. Is this why we have so many pictures and websites speaking of Obama as a Messiah? Is this why we have Muslim mafia in the USA right now? Is this why the Vatican is helping to spread tolerance towards Sharia law all across the globe? Is this why, even though Muslims continue to commit bloody acts of violence, they are still offered all sorts of benefits in the New World Order that will allow for Sharia law to be implemented everywhere, and those that commit such crimes are ignored? I mean, take the World Trade Center, for example. The debris from that awful act was quickly hauled off and sold to China, and much of it buried to prevent an in-depth investigation as where the most, you know, just like those things that happened in Fort Hood, where a Muslim killed some of the U.S. soldiers on U.S. soil. It's almost as if they have a license to kill, just as Nazis had in their day. Is this why Muslims are burning Christians alive now, instead of inside their own churches around the world, without fear or punishment? And is this why Obama's speeches bolster sales of Muslim Qurans and inspire Islam prayer rallies every time he speaks? I mean, yes, it is. And as we watch Rome demand the Muslims kill as they demanded Hitler in his day would kill, all sorts of acts against Christians are starting to be realized in other non-Muslim nations that were the target. And here's just a few headlines that have been posted on my site in just the last month alone. I mean, just only a few. Okay, the first one here just happened the other day. 10 Christians killed by Boko Haram Islamists. The next one is Christians die for their beliefs every 5 minutes. Egyptian Christians sentenced to death for the anti-Islam film. Christian leader jailed in Maldives for carrying Christian books. Christian freedoms threatened all over Asia. Years of persecution takes its toll on Christian leadership in South Sudan. 9 churches shut down under Islamic pressure in Indonesia. The rape and murder of Pakistan's Christian children. These are just headlines, by the way. Hindu radicals attack and beat Christian preacher and his daughter. Christians targeted in Nigeria's university killings. Indian Christian prayer meeting attacked. Christians detained by police. Christian church, now think about that. They're being attacked, but yet the Christians are the ones that end up in the jail. Just like what happened in Michigan a couple of months, and then a year ago. The Christians were being beaten and literally stoned. Well, they weren't thrown. Well, some were throwing stones, but it was mostly bottles and stuff like that, in front of the police, in front of the cameras, and the Christians ended up in jail. And the next two is Christian church in Wuhan City, China, faces forced demolition. And then does Western, here's the last one, the headline says, does Western media care about the deaths of Christians? Well, no, because none of these articles that I get from American sources. They're all found on foreign news sites because the USA media doesn't care about this because it's controlled by Rome again. It's not allowed, they're not allowed to report on such things. If they did, Rome's agenda to enforce the mark would be set back decades. So as they did with Hitler, the media is forced to ignore such facts if they want to stay in business or even stay alive for that matter. Because we know what happened in the 80s with the investigative reporters. They were dropping like flies. They were dying everywhere. When all of a sudden they got the hint, we better check with the government before we decide to publish this story. And that's how it's been ever since. Prophecy said Christians will be killed right before Jesus returns. And as we see here, this is exactly what's happening daily, right now. Still, should any of this make any of us fearful? Not at all. Not at all. I mean, did it make the 500 million that died for their faith fearful enough to join the Catholic Church and bow before their false God so as to prevent dying in a multitude of ways? No. And why not? It's because Jesus, he clearly said in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And he also said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Bottom line is this, obedient ones. Jesus also said in Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is also able to destroy both body and soul. Both soul and body in hell. We were dealing with that last night, as a matter of fact, I think. Now, one last thing, and I'll close with this. Reminds me of something I read in Fox's Book of Martyrs many years ago. I don't remember where it's at, and I'm not going to go. I don't even sure if it was Fox's book, but it was a true story in regards to some Christians that were being killed by the Catholic Church by being burned at the stake. And they were in this jail cell with those weird clothing on. You know, the Catholics used to put those robes on the people. Because back then they didn't have video games or TVs and, you know, and stuff like that and photographs. They had these robes that they would put on the people that were sentenced to death to try to get them to recant their faith in Christ and accept their faith in the Pope and his Eucharistic, the little wafer, say that that's Jesus Christ incarnate. And if they did that, they wouldn't be burned alive. They would just be choked to death. They would be strangled. It would be an easier death, I guess. And so they would have these robes that would put on them with all these drawings of all these awful ways to die to try to scare them. And there was a bunch of them in this jail cell. And these young teenagers, these two young boys, were sentenced, as was this older man in his 50s, I guess. And they were really frightened, but they were very strong Christians. But at the same time, they were wondering if it was going to be extremely painful. And the man told him, he says, the older Christian, he says, look, I'm going to go first, and I'll let them burn me. And because the Lord promises to be with us always to the end of the world. And he'll give me that peace. And he'll give me freedom from this pain, just as he gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm not going to say I won't burn and I won't die. I just won't feel it. Well, this is in the book? Okay, thanks, David. And he tells him, and I'm more or less trying to say what I remember, because I don't have 20/20 on this one. But he says, what I'll do is I'll raise my right arm if I don't feel any pain. And that way you'll know there is no pain. Don't worry about it. And so they drag the guy out, of course. They tie him to the stake and put all the wood around him. And they light it up. But now there's a problem. The kids can't see him. He's covered in flame. He's covered in smoke. You can't see it. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, the flames start to go down a little bit and the smoke starts to get wafted away by the breeze in there. They can see it as big as life, his arms straight up, all the way up. So don't worry, brothers and sisters. You are obedient. When you are obedient, Jesus is going to be with you all the way to the end. The work has to get done. His people will do it. And this is why they're doing everything they can out there now to try to make us fearful. Because Satan knows what happened when Peter was walking on the water, and Peter started looking at what Satan was doing with the wind and the wave and got him scared, and he started sinking in the water. Don't let them scare you. It's just not going to work. God's people will have that faith. Open pray. You were blessed by what you heard the Sabbath day.
There is coming a day when no harder it shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears within the earth. All is peace forevermore, home and happy going shore. What a day, glorious day.
Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Thank you so much, Father, for blessing us with your truth. Thank you for changing the showbread each and every Sabbath. And thank you for blessing us with a desire to do the work, stand firm, and have that courage like a strong soldier in Christ. Thank you for confirming it in our hearts that you love us and keeping the hedge of angels all about us. And if we are called to go to sleep before you get here, we thank you for blessing us with that as well, because that too is a blessing from on high. We will glorify you in any way that you see fit. Thank you for giving us that which we need to share our faith with others. Bring it all to our remembrance as you promised in John 14:26. Let many souls come in to the truth. Let the loud cry get very, very loud and give us even more understanding on what to do once they knock us off the internet. And thank you for the tools you have already given us and the ideas that we're going to do. We're even going to start doing now before they kick us. So thank you, Father, for blessing each and every soul that's on our prayer list, all the workers that do the work, and those that help us do the work. And Father, those that are part of our number that don't yet understand that they should help do the work as well as help those that are doing it, please open their eyes to this so that they too can be blessed with obedient hearts. And again, to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ.